Our second reading comes from the letter of the Apostle Paul to the Romans, chapter 5, verses 1 and 5, 2, 5. A little while I'm going to say it's a beautiful reading, one of the most beautiful in the Bible. But I'm speaking from experience. When I say before you can call it beautiful, you need to understand it. And I spent more hours than I had available just to look at Romans 5, the first five verses. And may it be that we will open our lives and our hearts as we read, while our mind begins to say, now, what does that say to me? Let's go with Romans 5, the first five verses. By entering through faith into what God has always wanted to do for us, set us right with Him, make us fit for Him, we have it all together with God because of our Master Jesus. And that's not all. We throw open our doors to God and discover at the same moment that He has already thrown open His door to us. We find ourselves standing where we always hoped we might stand, out in the wide open spaces of God's grace and glory, standing tall and shouting our praise. There's more to come. We continue to shout our praise even when we're hemmed in with troubles, because we know how troubles can develop passionate patience in us, and how that patience is in turn forges the tempered steel of virtue, keeping us alert for whatever God will do next. In alert expectancy such as this, we're never left feeling shortchanged. Quite the contrary. We can't round up enough containers to hold everything God generously pours into our lives through the Holy Spirit. And here ends our scripture reading. May we sense God's presence as we seek to understand this morning's scripture. You know, these first five verses of Romans 5 are so strikingly beautiful and rich in meaning that they actually plead for the opportunity to enrich our spiritual lives. When you read them, you hear, you sense the plea. Understand what I'm saying. It's a sure way to enter into the fullness of this message. And I think to make it a bit easier, let me tell you a real silly little story of a city dweller who moved to a farm. And the first thing that he did when he moved to the farm was he bought himself a cow. And sadly, shortly after he bought the cow went dry, delivering no milk at all. So after a few days, he loudly complained to his new neighboring farmers. He told them, you know, I can't understand it. If ever a person was considerate of an animal, I was of that cow. If I did not need any milk, I did not milk her. If I only needed a quart, I only took a quart. You can imagine, especially you farmers, his neighbors had a great laugh at his expense. You see, the only way to keep a cow's milk flowing is not to take as little milk as possible from the cow, but to take as much as possible. Strange as it may sound, Scripture says that the same principle is at work in your life and in mine. Those of us who only turn to God in times of real need are forfeiting the real joy that is the rightful heritage of our relationship with and our faith in God. Now Paul, in his letter to the Romans, proclaims a faith that never disappoints. You ever been disappointed in your faith? I was. Why didn't I get things my way? Our faith proclaims, we know, Paul says, true faith never disappoints. Now, who was he talking to? Well, we know the story. He was actually addressing this letter. He was sending it by secret messenger during that first century. And he was trying to get the message through to people who were greatly suffering. It was a time in Rome when Christians were part of a persecuted minority in the mighty Roman Empire. Their entire society rejected them in many different ways. And they were treated as outcasts. They were never invited to social events, and mainly because they did not worship the Roman gods of the first century. So Paul had a powerful message for them in that time of suppression. He says, Roman Christians, you have something that nobody else have in Rome. You have something far more precious than you will ever realize. And then he goes into an argument. Here Paul's reasoning. He says, in and through Jesus Christ, we have it all together with God. It goes a bit deeper. How do we actually, no one has ever seen God. No one can truly describe God. It comes from a deep faith and understanding. It comes through the centuries. It comes through the generations. What do we know about God? Well, that's where the New Testament comes in, where it's different from the Old Hebrew Testament. Because in the New Testament, there comes a solution for many of the questions in the Hebrew Testament. And we name the solution Jesus Christ. Because in and through Jesus Christ, we can safely reject most of the rules because we carry something in our hearts that will never, never forsake us. That we can lean upon in darkness and in light. In and through Jesus, says Paul, we have it all together with God. We have peace with God through Jesus Christ. And through Jesus Christ, we've received grace. And we can actually boast in the hope of sharing the glory of God. Well, that's powerful. If I've ever seen and read power in the Bible, that's powerful. However, that's not all of it. There's more. Paul then says, now take an honest look at your sufferings, because they were sufferings. And we all know the story of Polycarpus, that first century giant, who was finally brought before a court and sentenced to death simply because he refused to forsake his belief and his faith in Jesus Christ. And he was burned to death. And moments before the fire was lit, the captain of the Roman guard said to him, you still have a last chance. Forsake this Jesus Christ of you, and you can be spared. And through the centuries, ring the answer of Polycarpus. I've served Jesus Christ my entire life, and he never let me down. Why shall I live to let him down in the face of death? And joyfully, his life expired. Take another honest look at your sufferings, says Paul. You know what? You are gaining far more than you are losing. And then he goes on. He says, suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character. Character produces hope, and hope will never disappoint us, because God's love pours into our hearts and lives through the Holy Spirit. That's really at the basis of our personal faith. Has things changed? It's 2,000 years later. You know, there is power in sincere faith. Still burning strong across the world after 2,000 years. People are standing on a rock, the rock of ages. Their feet on that rock are on firm ground. We do not have questions about that this morning. We know who we are. We know to whom we belong. Our faith can and will make a difference and determine our outlook from fear to certainty, from floating in mud to standing on a rock. Now, there's an ancient legend that describes it this way. It says a certain king had two servants, and to the first he said, I now want you to travel for 6 months through my kingdom and bring back a sample of every weed you can possibly find. And to the second servant, the king said, and I want you to travel through my kingdom for 6 months and bring back a sample of every flower you can find. So 6 months later, both servants stood before the king again. And to the first, the king asked, ready with your report? Have you carried out my command? The servant answered, yes, O king. And I was amazed to find there were so many weeds in the kingdom. In fact, there is nothing but weeds in this kingdom. And to the king's question, the second servant answered, oh yes, I have traveled your kingdom, and I am amazed how many beautiful flowers there are in the kingdom. In fact, there is nothing but beautiful flowers in this kingdom. And the message of this old legend is clear. The two servants each found exactly what they were seeking. And this is an established fact. So many people believe that there is nothing good about their life anymore. They feel unloved, they feel unwanted, and when you do not love yourself, you will also feel abandoned and not loved by God. What's more, you will likely not feel loved by other people, even if they do love you. But Evie, may I please repeat that? So many people believe that there is nothing good about their life anymore. They feel unloved and unwanted. When you do not love yourself, you will also feel abandoned and not loved by God. What's more, you will likely not feel loved by other people, even if they still do love you. Boils down to another cornerstone of our faith. Jesus said, love your neighbor as you love yourself. Hey, wait a minute. I always understood love your neighbor, period. It's not that easy. Jesus said, love your neighbor how? As you love yourself. What does that mean? Some Christians tell me, oh no, you can't love yourself. That's the privilege of Jesus. And I think Jesus really confirms this. You must love your neighbor as you love that legitimate love for yourself. And it's okay to love yourself. And when you do love yourself, you will be in touch with your feelings. You will understand the information they provide, and you will desire to take responsibility for them. You will then treat yourself with kindness, with gentleness and compassion, and think in positive ways without allowing others to decide how you should feel. When you love yourself, you will discover the love of God's Spirit within you. And once when you have discovered God within you, you will begin to notice God in things around you. King David's 62nd Psalm proclaims, he says, God, the one and only, I'll wait as long as he says. Everything I need comes from him, so why not? He's a solid rock under my feet, breathing room for my soul, an impregnable castle. And then David concludes, I am set for life. Romans 5. Today's scripture says, we continue to shout our praise even when we're hemmed in with troubles, because we know how troubles can develop passionate patience in us, and how that patience in turn forges the tempered steel of virtue, keeping us alert for whatever God will do next. Everyone in this world needs to feel that he or she really counts. You are not alone, that you belong. It is difficult to make people miserable while they feel that they are worthy of themselves and feel close to the great God who created them. Bible says Jesus Christ is yesterday, today the same, and will be forevermore. And we sing, we know the song, count your many blessings, count them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Will you count your blessings now? Will you touch the hand of the one you love if he or she sits beside you? Will you count your blessings even under difficult times? Count your blessings. It will surprise you what the Lord has done. This is our Christian witness. This is our song. I am standing on a rock, and even though I'm trembling on the rock will never, ever tremble under me. Amen.